All right, our next guest, you've seen his work all over the place. Among others, the Burlington County Times, the Bucks County Courier Times, covers the Philadelphia 76ers, the guru of all things NBA. We're glad to be joined now on the Comcast Business Hotline by Tom Moore. Tom, thanks for coming on tonight.
Sure, you could say master, jack of all trades, master of none. How about that, Joe?
Join that club, you and me both.
Yeah, right.
So
keep faking it.
Exactly, till we make it. Tom, one of the things that that people have been really up in arms about right now with the Philadelphia 76ers is kind of like, this is not what we were promised. At this point, after the Tobias Harris trade and everything else, you know, a lot of people expected the Sixers to more or less be solidified and to kind of be the team that they were going to be going into the playoffs. What's kind of gone wrong as far as you've seen it?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's still certainly you know, the pieces don't exactly fit, let's be honest. You know, the majority of the players want to play a certain way, kind of a free-flowing, you know, push the ball up court, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, and so on. And Jimmy Butler is an isolation player. You have to call plays for him, run him, albeit a guy in the fourth quarter who can take over a couple nights ago, you know, make key plays to prevent that, from becoming a loss. And I guess if you want to, you know, you don't want to make excuses, but I mean, Tobias Harris has played four games with Joel Embiid. It's going to be, you know, he'll miss his eighth game tomorrow night. So, you know, and I think that they're a really good match because I think he's a stretch four. He does the things to give Embiid space. You have to go out on him. He's a 40% plus percent 3-point shooter. But you know, Embiid missing the game tomorrow night, you're down to 16 games left in the season. So you need him, you know, you want to make sure by the time the playoffs start that he's able to play 30 to 35 minutes. And that's going to take time, you know, to get there. And there's, you know, there's 5.5 weeks left in the regular season. So, you know, there's a lot, you know, and yeah, you know, there's no excuse for a game like last night, the Bulls. You can't let a team like that hang around. You know, you get up 8 or 10, you got to put a team like that away. They're playing for nothing but pride. And you're playing for, they'd be third in the East right now, Joe. They have the tiebreaker. They've won both games with the Pacers. They'd be third, you know, and clearly you don't want to finish fourth. I know the Celtics are having issues, but that is not a favorable matchup for the Sixers as we saw last year and as we've seen this year.
So, Tom, one of the things that is becoming a focus is this Joel Embiid injury, and there was a lot of optimism that he might be back for the Warriors game, and there are questions about what he was doing in the All-Star game. Is there any kind of indication or update of when he might be ready to go?
No, it's the same as Brett Brown said, you know, a couple of days ago. Well, he had said that, you know, he wouldn't be playing in Chicago, but there was a chance he could meet the team in, you know, in Houston, which is not going to be the case. He's officially ruled out. He's out in the game notes. He's out on the injury report. Now it's the same thing, you know, it's possibility that he could play as soon as Sunday against the Pacers here at 3:30 in the afternoon, but there has been no update. There has been, I mean, nothing in terms of anything aggravated, anything, you know, a setback or anything like that. But yeah, you know, a week, and it turns into 8 games, you know, that's, and I understand fans being skeptical, curious, given, you know, the history and, you know, with Joel 2 years ago when he had a bone bruise and, you know, nothing to see here and ended up having to have season ending knee surgery and, you know, wasn't 100% by the start of the next season. So I understand why they're curious and afraid there's more to it, or I'm not aware of anything like that. But I can't swear to it that that's not the case.
Speaking to Tom Moore right now on the Comcast Business Hotline. So, Tom, looking ahead, you know, you talked about playoff matchups that aren't great for the Sixers and everything else. I mean, in that locker room, what's the vibe with the team? Are they thinking that they're a good team that just needs to come together, or do they think that they've got some work and some tweaks to do?
Yeah, I mean, kind of in the middle, I think, Joe. I mean, I think they, you know, Tobias Harris and, you know, Butler, you know, fairly confident guys in there. You know, I think Tobias Harris has played very well. I think he's been, you know, as advertised, and I think he's a guy that, you know, really would fit long-term here with, you know, with Joel Embiid. But I think they, you know, I think they would admit, perhaps not publicly, but privately, that they thought perhaps they'd be a little further along here and, you know, things would be gelling, for lack of a better word, better than they are. making more plays at the end of games to win games, you know, close games. You know, down to the wire games are what the playoffs are all about. You think back to that Celtics series last year, the five games, the Sixers won one by double digits, the Celtics won one by double digits, and Boston won all three close games. You have to win those down to the wire games if you're going to advance in the playoffs, because there are going to be, in a best of seven series, the odds are there are going to be multiple, you know, down to the wire games. And those are the ones, it's about execution, it's about, you know, having the right guy make the right play at the right time, and it's about getting big stops at the end of games. You know, that was unforgivable last night, to give up the hottest guy on the floor, to let him drive right to his strong hand, both guys on the pick and roll go with the screener, and he waltzes right to the basket. Like, that cannot happen. That's basketball 1-on-1.
Tom, from where you were sitting, did that seem like that was more of an issue with Brett Brown or the actual players defending the pick and roll? Because I was with you. I said that is the only thing that can't happen after this.
Right. Well, I mean, supposedly they were switching everything, which would mean, you know, that Mike Scott was supposed to go with, you know, go with them. But both guys, as I said, went with the screener. I'd rather both guys go with, you know, go
Levine,
with him.
Absolutely.
Levine, right, and let the screener wide open, because the one guy's been torching you all night. It's the, you know, you can't let that guy beat you. Make someone else beat you. And that's what a lot of good teams do, is they make teams go to a second or third option, and they're not as effective. But Levine just waltzed down the lane. Simmons came over and kind of got in the way, but if you look, he didn't jump straight up. He kind of jumped to not to foul and move off to the side. You know, I'd rather put him on the line there, which they did, although he made the shot too. That should not be happening in game 70, you know, 65 of an 82 game season. I know Mike Scott's new and so on, but you know, you need to make sensible plays, and that just did not, that just was not, it just didn't feel or smell right, shall we say.
Speaking to Tom Moore on the Comcast Business Hotline. Tom, one of your recent articles that I really enjoyed was discussing the fits long-term of Tobias Harris almost versus Jimmy Butler. And one of the things we were talking about right before you came on is that the Sixers have a ton of decisions to make, and this offseason is going to be a really pivotal one, so the postseason is as well. Do you get the sense that the team's mind is made up that this is the four that they're going with, or is there still some exploring in that regard?
Well, I mean, I think, as I said, Joe, Tobias Harris is an excellent fit. But let's say, for argument's sake, you decide you'd rather not give Jimmy Butler a 5-year, $190 million contract or thereabouts. You would need to trade him, or because you can re-sign your own free agents, you can exceed the salary cap to do that. If they decide not to re-sign him, they wouldn't be able to fill a max slot, if you will, with him. They would only be able to fit what's left in the salary cap. So it would be more complicated. To me, if they thought Jimmy Butler was, if they weren't planning to re-sign Jimmy Butler, they would have traded him at the trade deadline to try to get another asset that they could re-sign. So I believe that the plan is, you know, to sign Butler, sign Harris, and they can re-sign J.J. Redick. He's their own free agent. It's the second year, a second contract here. So they could do that and bring the team back together, if you will. The other guy's long-term, Redick on a shorter deal, and then just fill out the roster with the guys who are still under contract and minimum salary guys. But as we said, it is not a perfect fit. I mean, if Butler were a better three-point shooter, you know, I think that would be more amenable. But, you know, when he came here, I believe he was third in the NBA in fourth quarter scoring. And they really need a guy. He had a couple of big shots to win games earlier this season. The two free throws that could have and should have won the game, you know, last night. He's not afraid to take the big shot. And he can get his own shot, which I like. That was a problem before, too. So I think that's what they're going to do. I think that's kind of what they're committed to do. Just a lot, and partially because it would be so difficult to try to do something else. People say, sign Kawhi Leonard. Well, they have no inherent advantage to sign Kawhi Leonard. They can re-sign Butler and Harris for more money, more years, and more per year than any other team. So that's the advantage. You don't have that with Kevin Durant. You don't have that with Kawhi Leonard. You don't have that with Klay Thompson. So that's the problem there.
Tom Moore joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Now, ahead of this game against the Rockets, a lot of people are pointing to this game in particular, Tom, as a measuring stick because they said, you know what, we felt good about the Warriors lost by three, felt terrible about the Bulls lost by one. They played well in the Magic game until the run and the comeback. I mean, is it to the point where we're kind of game by game with this team? And if so, is this game a pretty big measuring stick as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, it's really hard to say, Joe. I mean, you know, I know what happened the last time the Rockets came to town. The Sixers blew them out of the gym here. But Embiid was playing, and Clint Capella, who's a very athletic big man for the Rockets, was not playing. He's back now. And, you know, I mean, yeah, you want to see how they respond. If they come out and lose by 20, that's pretty disheartening, you know. But you want them at least to be competitive. You know, and to figure some of these things out, some of these issues that, you know, as I said, there's 5.5 weeks or thereabout till the end of the regular season, 6 weeks to the start of the playoffs. So you need to get these things, you know, you need to get these things right, because some of these things are things that can cost you playoff series that are happening, you know, with or without Joel Embiid. You know, they lost some games to playoff teams. They had lost two of their previous three to playoff teams when Embiid was healthy. So it was not like, you know, that's the only problem. I'm not trying to say that.
Right.
But obviously, especially at the defensive end, he covers up so many ills. If he's in there last night at that spot, LaVine doesn't get all the way to the rim. He may pull up and hit a 15-footer, but he's not going to get an uncontested layup to the basket. There's nobody else on that roster that can block shots and is an interior defensive presence. To me, what he does on defense is more important than what he does on offense because he's the only guy who can do that.
Tom, if Joel Embiid is out for an extended period of time, which obviously we hope that's not the case, what's this team's ceiling as far as you're concerned?
What's the ceiling?
Yeah, how far do you think this team would be able to go in the event that Joel Embiid is out for an extended period?
Boy, I mean, you talking about like even into the playoffs?
Potentially. I mean, we don't know. We don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of it.
Well, I mean, they're fourth now. They're a game behind the Pacers, and the Celtics are, I think, about two games behind them. Then there's a drop off to the Pistons and the Nets. So you know, the worst would be fifth, but obviously, you prefer not to finish fourth or fifth because that means you're probably playing the Celtics.
Right.
Third, you end up. It's really hard to say. I mean, it really is. It's, you know, the lack of a backup center and the lack of a scorer off the bench are issues, but you keep looking at these games and they score enough points typically to win. To me, it's more about getting big stops and making plays at the defensive end. And they have had trouble doing that, you know, at key times, and it has cost them numerous games. And in the playoffs, the scores don't go up. They tend to go down. It's more of a half court grind it out kind of, you know, situation. Yeah, I don't think the ceiling isn't anywhere near as high as it would be, you know, without him. And they miss Boban. I mean, at least if they had him, they'd have a big body in there for 20, 25 minutes.
Sure.
They're playing Amir Johnson and Jonah Bolden, who are essentially power forwards that are playing the five position. And then they go really small with Mike Scott or Simmons or Harris, you know, for spot minutes at the five. So, yeah, the drop-off is incredibly, you know, apparent.
He's Tom Moore. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Moore Philly. You can read his work in the Bucks County Courier Times and also the Burlington County Times, also elsewhere on the internet and in newspapers. Tom, thanks so much. The Sixers are giving us plenty of questions to ask you, so thanks for being game here.
Anytime, Joe. You take care.
All right, there he is, Tom Moore, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.